You're listening to the ISF Podcast for your organization's better cybersecurity. Your host, ISF CEO Steve Durbin, is an expert in leadership, business culture transformation, and cyber strategies for today's top enterprises. I'm producer Tavia Gilbert. Today, Steve is in conversation with Catherine Bosley, an award-winning veteran journalist with more than 30 years of public speaking experience. Steve and Catherine discuss the importance of protecting one's online image, what to do when it hits the fan, and why a social media policy is something all organizations should have. Catherine also offers a reminder: pause before you post.
Catherine, it's lovely to have you on the podcast. Thanks so much for joining me today.
It's great to be here, Steve. Thank you for having me.
Now, you're an award-winning TV anchor, you're a speaker, you're an author, you're a talent coach, whole range of different things related to news personalities and how people really present themselves in the public world, I guess, is probably the best way of describing it. One of the things I wanted to ask you was, because I get this question a lot, people seem to be struggling with their persona, the persona that you present in person versus the persona you present online, on TV, and that sort of thing. The world is online. How can we be more aware of what we actually need to do to protect the integrity of our online presence? What are some tips in that space?
I am all about best face forward, whether it is the performance you do with a marketing video or a Zoom meeting or that last post you put up on Twitter. It is all about making sure that we protect our online image. These days, that online image, your online presence is so important. It almost is more important than a resume or a portfolio these days, because we know that so many employers are sifting through the resumes and they're also shifting those resumes aside and they're going in there and they are vetting you through an online search. What was your last post? What kind of trouble did you get in online? When did you come under attack? What are your political views? And so all of that stuff is stuff that we can control. And we need to have a new mindfulness, basically, to get to, that's a long way of answering your question. We need to have a new mindfulness, a new awareness of every choice we make. Because today, every choice could determine the trajectory of our lives, even those smallest choices, with your posts, your pictures, your tweets, your emails, your text messaging. What are these things saying about you? And so many times when we put things out there, we're thinking, oh, we're just sending it to a friend. And they understand that there's sarcasm involved in it. They understand my sense of humor. And then before you know it, that friend has shared it with someone else because they really liked it or they really disliked it. And now they're sharing it with more people and more people. So we need to be so mindful about everything we put out there. My brand is called Forever in Fraudacy, and that's my book. And it's about the permanence. Permanence is very real. So we're navigating two worlds. We're navigating this real life world. We can hear each other, see each other, touch each other. And we're navigating this online world where all anyone knows about us is what they find about us on that computer screen. So we need to take control of that. Pause before you post is a big saying I hear all the time. Mm-hmm. I wish I would have come up with it because I so believe in it. Pause before you post. Think about what you're saying, how it could be misinterpreted. So it's a mindfulness team.
I like the pause before you post. I think that's always good advice. It's the same as think before you open your mouth, really, isn't it? But I think that today, of course, everybody is always armed with a mobile phone. Everybody is active on TikTok. And I think a lot of people do forget that pause before you post. But what are some of the other most important steps that you can take to protect your online image?
Shine online, I call it. So there's three steps. Number one is contribute kindness online. Because just as you're a kind person in person, you want to make sure that is revealed online as well. So when you are scrolling through Facebook and you see something, someone just had a baby, someone got a new job, be kind about it. Not just like it, say something nice about it. So you're starting to get that online image of being a kind person. And of course, you never want to put anything out there that's anything but kind. So contribute kindness. And if we get some more kindness online, wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Wouldn't that make a big difference in so many ways? Number two, Google yourself. I speak everywhere from middle schools all the way up to corporate executive conferences. And when I ask my audiences, how many of you Google yourselves? Maybe I get half of the audience saying, yeah, I do. why not Google yourself? That is a fantastic tool to find out what's going on with your online image. So are there things out there that you didn't even really know about? Maybe some great things about you as a business owner, you as a professional. And maybe if that's the case, then you need to take advantage of that, capitalize on that, share that, put that out there, thank whoever put it out there, but you need to really capitalize on that good stuff. On the other hand, maybe suddenly people are not coming into your shop anymore. Suddenly your business just died down. What is going on? Oftentimes, if you Google yourself, you might be able to find out exactly what's going on. There are so many platforms out there where people are giving reviews of businesses. Mm-hmm. And there are people who are hired to give bad reviews, maybe sometimes by the competition. So are there bad reviews out there that, number one, could be fake? Or number two, maybe they're true. Maybe someone walked into your store and they had a bad customer service experience. Now, what are you going to do about that? So there are ways to address that bad stuff as well. And number three here, make sure you shine online, populate with positive things you want people to know about you, say about you, see about you as a person. We're all people first, as a professional, as business. That means when you're hitting a milestone with your sales in your company, put that out there. When you're celebrating an anniversary of one of your employees, put that out there. When you're out there volunteering in the community, taking your dog for a walk, put all of that out there. Of course, on social media, maybe a website, maybe a blog, put that positive stuff out there. What you're doing, Steve, when you are populating with positive is two things. Number one, if there is any harmful or negative information out there in your online search, a lot of people have it, they Google, and there was that DUI arrest from when they were 17 years old that won't go away, and now they're in their 30s. The more you populate with positive, the more you're going to push that negative stuff lower into your Google search. And we all know that when we do a Google search, rarely do we go past page one, right? Maybe we'll go to page two. Right. So the more positive stuff you're putting out there, the more that positive stuff is going to show up on that front page. That's a big strategy that I use. And number two, when you populate with positive, you're also putting up a bit of a firewall. So you've got so much great positive stuff that if something negative comes in, something harmful that comes in, it's going to have a harder time penetrating through that wall and could likely fizzle off. So those are my top three steps to make sure that you protect your online image. Contribute kindness whenever you can, Google yourself, and populate with positive. Very, very easy steps, but they are steps that you need to be vigilant about and adamant about. Today, we all depend on our online image. Unless you are going into the retirement world, we need to make sure that we have an online image out there, because it's weird if you don't.
One of the things that strikes me there, you mentioned, is this whole issue around awareness. Because, of course, once you put something out there, there's no taking it back. And one of the things that I think is most difficult for people to actually understand or get their heads around is that you can't take it back. I think a lot of people think, oh my God, I've just put this stuff out there. I shouldn't have pressed the go button, but I have, and now I'm stuck with it. Just interesting to hear that there are little ways in which you can perhaps compensate for some of that, not get rid of it, because you never will, but at least provide some kind of balance in all of that, which I think is so very important. You talked as well, Catherine, about the fact that you do a lot of training, coaching at all elements, from business people right the way down to school children. What are the sorts of questions, I guess, that you get that probably surprise you? Because online persona has been around now for quite a long while. Social media continues to develop, but it's a lot more known, understood, accepted than it was even, say, 3 to 5 years ago. So I'm just curious as to the sort of questions people are asking you now.
Well, a lot of parents ask me, how do I get this to my kids? And I use some stories about bullying. Because bullying is an epidemic. Actually, it's an epidemic with school-age kids, but it's also an epidemic in the workplace also. And so I use a couple of true life stories about bullying and the results of bullying and understanding you can be a bully and not even really know it. So a lot of times we think that we're going to use social media, adults do this, think we're going to use social media to set someone straight. It's so easy for us when we see something we disagree with, thinking that we're going to improve the world somehow and make their beliefs and what they're doing more in line with what we think. So we become bullies and don't even think about that. There was a story about a man who lived in a very elite neighborhood. And he didn't like, number one, that a fast food restaurant was moving into his neighborhood. But number two, he was very discouraged about the poor service at this restaurant. So he decided then he's going to at least make the service better. So he goes in, and to prove to the world how poor the service is, he takes his cell phone and he records the whole transaction on video.
Right.
How slow it was, how the person who was waiting on him was not very responsive. And then he lets her have it, tells her how unhappy he is about it. It's all recorded. And he puts that out online. His idea was that will get to management. That will get to the high end of this corporation to show that this store is awful and it needs to be better. So what happened to him? He became the bully and it absolutely backfired on him. He thinks he's doing something good and it comes out to do something bad, so much so that he gets bullied to where he has to leave town because he's so hated in that town. So what are some of the questions we have? What do I do when that negative stuff gets out there? There's a case of a college football player who was on his way to the pros. He was about to be drafted. And he put out a tweet a couple of years before that using derogatory language about president. Right. So never would play football again. So how do you deal with it? I call that reputation rescue. And there's three steps with reputation rescue, of course. There's three steps with everything these days. You can ignore the negative. And honestly, a lot of times that's the best thing to do. And that's always my first step with a response is to ignore the negative. Because the more you respond to the negative, especially in a defensive negative way, the more you're going to fuel that fire and the more it's going to catch on and become part of your forever and for all to see. I refer to your online image as your forever and for all to see.
Right.
And so the best thing to do for the most part is to ignore the negative. The second step is to respond. Maybe it is something that's just so crazy that you need to respond with positive language and then just let it go and just say something to the effect of, this is not how my business operates. We are a 5-star business. Everyone who does business with me, they know that we don't operate this way. This, we believe, was a false post put in TripAdvisor or something like that. So you could respond that way. And oftentimes you can take it a step further when there is information about you that's not real and you can actually go through to the platform because all these platforms, they want to make sure the integrity of their platform is maintained. So there are complaint departments where you can get negative stuff that's not real taken down. Or you can respond by saying, yes, I take responsibility for this. I made a mistake. I'm so sorry. I regret it. And then leave it alone. Walk away after that. Often when this happens and you do that response, it's going to create, a bit of a firestorm and it's going to be tempting to respond to what people are putting out there. The best thing you could do is let it marinate and then step away from it. And then the third step is outsourcing with ORM, online reputation management. Mm-hmm. It is becoming a huge business. And I've teamed up with one of the biggest reputation management firms in the country. And it's amazing what they do. So they can go in and create a whole new online image for you through manipulating algorithms, through posting lots of positive for you. They can completely change it. Now, it takes time and it takes money, but for some people, it is absolutely worth it. So that is probably the number one question I get. What do I do if there is negative stuff out there? Aside from how do I make my kids stop? So right. Understand. Consequences with getting people to stop, which that example I use for that guy going into the restaurant is an adult version of that.
Now, I'm sure there are people listening to this, business leaders, who are aware that they find it very difficult to control what their employees might be saying about the company. And inevitably, at some point, somebody will post something that potentially hurts the business image. You can't micromanage. You can't monitor every single post that goes up from the people that work for you, particularly if you work for a large organization. So what are some of the things that business leaders can do in terms of just letting their staff know about the do's and don'ts here? Because at the same time, you don't want to prevent people from expressing themselves.
I think one major factor that we choose to ignore is that what we put out there today, it's no longer just about us. What we're putting out there is a reflection on others in our world. So on our employer, on our employees, on our family, on our neighborhood, what we put out there could have these people answering to your thoughts and your beliefs. Say a teenager working decides that he's going to do something crazy. He's going to show video of himself putting something crazy on a hamburger or spitting on a hamburger. We all hear these stories about what's happening in some of the fast food restaurants. And then he posts it. And he doesn't say exactly where he works or anything, but he posts it. And he just thinks it's funny. Actually, there was a young man that worked at a Mexican restaurant who showed himself licking all the tacos. And he posted it. And no one knew exactly where he worked. But of course, it's easy to figure that out. And although maybe this young man is just doing something, thinking that it's just about him being a rebel or doing something that would get social media gold, which is often the goal for a lot of young people, is to get that social media gold moment. Of course, it's going to come back and it's going to haunt that restaurant. And maybe that young man did not realize how in depth it goes, that one post that he puts out there. So social media policy is super important, I think, for every business. And if you don't have one, you're opening yourself up for catastrophe down the road because you just don't know. And maybe this young man, he's out going on a racist rant on a street corner or something like that, right? And although he might be doing this on his own time, in his own personal Facebook space, when we know that he works for that organization in particular, then, oh my goodness, that kind of scenario could come back and haunt any business. And so it's so important to make sure that your employees understand the relationship, that everything that they're doing out there could be a reflection on your business. And in TV news, I've worked in TV news for years, we have these crazy clauses in our contracts that basically say we need to present ourselves with the utmost integrity when we're out in public. You hear sometimes of people in TV news who go off the rails a bit in their real life world. And what happens? They work for that TV news station. So what they're doing off the rails in their own personal world comes back and haunts the station and then haunts them.
So it's about having thought through those situations, putting them into your policies, making sure that your staff are trained so they understand exactly what the do's and don'ts are, and then just being mindful of the fact that when something like that does happen, you have to respond in a measured and pretty quick way normally.
And I do believe with your staff, it is not just do as we say. I do go in with staff meetings and talk to employees about it. They are here for you. They hired you. They're on your side. It is making sure that there's a team spirit going on, because employers too, they got to do the same thing. You can't have an employer go out there on a racist rant. And now I work for this employer. And now that's a reflection on me because I work for this person. And maybe people will say, you should get another job. You can't work for that person. So it goes both ways. It does certainly go both ways.
Yeah, and I remember a little while ago, a particular president of a company who was advocating that all of his staff return to the office and work back in the office as opposed to being at home, and then started posting pictures of himself on the beach with his grandchildren. And it's just that simple sort of thing. There was no implication that it was being done in work time. But the assumption, again, if you're talking about one thing, just think it through. Give it a week, give it a fortnight, whatever it is. But you're right. You just need to think about how you're managing it. One of the other things that I wanted to talk to you about, because I get this question quite a lot now, a lot of concern around things like deepfakes, because they're becoming better and better, particularly with AI. And the risk, particularly for business leaders, is that someone creates a fake video that could be posted that creates long-lasting negative consequences. Any thoughts, Catherine, on how business leaders can navigate that new reality? Because it's pretty scary.
It's so frightening. And this has been going on for quite a while to some degree, but not like it is right now. I spoke a lot at high schools and junior high schools. And when I first started speaking there, they already had a situation where kids were putting naked bodies on the faces of their classmates and putting that out there. And it was a little bit easier to tell back then. It just comes down to trying to push doing the right thing, not doing fake stuff altogether. It's so hard to identify that stuff these days. And this is getting a little bit outside of my wheelhouse because this is getting into more technology, but it is very frightening. And it's to the point where you almost have to question everything that you see online. Some of it is just, it's blatant that it's AI. I saw yesterday a picture of a woman in the hospital who just had 15 babies. And they lined up 15 babies alongside her in the bed. And so there are things that are just blatantly fake. And so you have to use your own common sense too. But right now, I would say then when you come across things, before you jump, to take a moment and really scrutinize, could this be true? Do some research, especially in our political environment. Each side is so likely to believe the worst of the other side. I know my husband and I are on opposite sides in politics. So when we come at each other with something, we ask, where did you find that? Mm-hmm. So make sure that you make sure in the news business, attribution is key to credibility. And so that means that if we're going to believe something and we're going to continue to spread something, let's make sure that we have attribution that we can put behind it that is a reliable source. So that's all I can say with that. It's very frightening. AI to me is very frightening. There are, of course, plenty about it that's great. And people who know how to use it the right way can use it the right way. But when it comes down to the fake stuff, it's certainly very frightening. And I just don't know what we can do about it. We hardly have any regulations online as it is. So we just need to be more mindful, more aware. I mean, that's just what it comes down to with navigating our digital space.
I think that's absolutely right. I think you mentioned attribution. I think that's so very important in all elements of social media and all elements of the things that we do on online. And I think that one of the sad things that we see happening is that people obviously like certain things and the algorithms then kick in that keep sending more and more of the things that they like. And that obviously changes some of the balance. So I think whether or not you're a parent, whether or not you're running a business, one of the things that you can do in this space is really to try to provide a balanced view, to try to demonstrate the thought process that you've gone through around why you've made certain decisions, to make sure that your children or the people that work with you, work for you, are aware of some of the challenges in this particular space. And as we said right at the beginning, do understand that you're probably going to stand a better chance of getting the right message across if you do pause before you post as opposed to anything else.
Indeed. And one of the big tips I have, I talk about what I call the top five reputation wreckers, but the one I want to talk about real quickly here are those pictures and posts that we cannot control.
Right.
So understanding that wherever we go outside of our own four walls of our own home, there's probably a camera on you.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have those what was I thinking moments, right? We've had a bad day. The barista's not getting our latte right. Yeah. Suddenly we become this rude person and we don't even realize that's going on. Understand that people are watching and people especially are looking for those social media gold moments. And if they capture you having one of those what was I thinking moments, because we all have them, we're all human, we all make mistakes, then you just don't know what that's going to do to your world on the personal side or on the professional side. There was a woman, a high-level executive for the state of New York. She was on a flight, did not like that she was seated in the back of a plane next to a child that was crying, and asked the flight attendant, would you please put me somewhere else? And the flight attendant said, I can't. This woman got up and had an absolute rant on the flight attendant. Of course, someone is recording the whole thing.
Right.
And of course, that someone puts it up on social media. It goes viral. It's all over national news. And of course, it cost her job. And she was never able to reclaim a career quite like that, because that was that what was I thinking moment. So I will always warn people today, there's so little room for what was I thinking moment before it comes part of your forever and for all to see. So always make sure that you're on your best behavior, even when inside you just want to burst. We all have that happen, but it's time to bring that mindfulness and really listen to that voice inside that tells you when you should not do something and defer to it. We all have it. That's your saving grace. It's your conscience that is telling you what to do and what not to do. And we all know that. But sometimes we want to defer to our human agenda and we turn the volume down. We really want to get in that car and drive, even though we know we've had too many drinks. We really want to shout out to the world on Facebook how angry we are about something. Use that voice that tells you when you shouldn't do something. And that's how I think we increase that mindfulness all the time.
Sound advice. Catherine, thank you so much for your time and for sharing some of those tips. Plenty in there, I think, for anybody who is just curious about how they can improve their online profile and indeed perhaps guard against some of the pitfalls that we've alluded to over the last 25 minutes or so. So thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Special thanks to this week's guest, Catherine Bosley. We'll be back with another new episode next week. In the meantime, if you enjoyed today's episode, please take a moment to rate and review the podcast. And we'd be pleased if you'd consider sharing the episode. To become an ISF member, get in touch with Steve directly at steve.durbin@securityforum.org or on LinkedIn. Check out all our media and resources. All of it is there to support you at securityforum.org. The ISF podcast is produced by Talkbox Productions and Tavia Gilbert. Thanks for listening.